Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. ओमज्ञानतिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंगुरुपदाह्यं ददाति स्वपदादिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादा सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनित्यविनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादिने आचार्येशतारिणे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घय धीगिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरोदिनतारिणम् वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च प्रियानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमाप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यामने गौरकृशे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकम् आराध्यो भगवान् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधू वर्गेणया कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेमापुमर्थो महान् श्रीचैतन्यमहाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरहना परः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा As we approach the holy day of Sri Nrisimha Chaturdashi, that very eventful day on which the Supreme Lord appeared in the most extraordinary form of Lord Narasimha to save his dear devotee Prahlad. We can today also discuss some glories of Lord Narasimha Dev and also his dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was so great in his devotion that the Supreme Lord personally advented from the spiritual world just for his protection. As Srila Prabhupada explains in his teachings, that Lord Narasimha appeared not so much to kill Hiranyakashipu as to save Prahlad. In other words, saving his devotees is more important to the Lord than destroying the miscreants. Actually, destroying the miscreants can be done even by the material energy of the Lord. The material energy or Maya Devi or Durga Devi is strong enough to destroy even the most powerful asuras. But that is not the principal reason why the Lord comes. Even the establishment of religious principles, dharma samsthapanarthaya, sambhavami yuge yuge, so this establishment of dharma can also be done by the saintly persons, by all the devotees of the Lord. The Lord does not really need to appear here just for this purpose. And when it comes to the question of saving the devotees, actually the acharyas have explained that the holy name is sufficient. Because the pure devotees of the Lord are constantly chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, Sri Krishna, the holy name will always be there for their protection. But then the Lord still appears to save his devotee. The reason is that the Lord has such a loving relationship with his devotee. He has so much affection for his pure devotee that he comes personally nevertheless. Lord Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsala, one who is very affectionate to his devotees. So therefore, he cannot bear to see his pure devotee being harassed or in some form of trouble. Therefore, he comes personally just to save his devotee. So we can just imagine how great is Prahlad. Suppose you had a personal problem in your family and the President of India flew down specially from Delhi to Bangalore and from Bangalore came specially to your house just to solve your problem. So, don't you think that would be something very extraordinary? And the whole neighborhood would be thinking, just see how, what a wonderful neighbor we have. The President of India, the Prime Minister, all have come down just to solve some family quarrel between father and son. They have come to solve. And this is just the President or the Prime Minister of one country on one tiny planet in one medium-sized universe amongst billions and billions of universes which constitute the material creation. And this material creation is just one small cloud in the spiritual sky where there are unlimited spiritual planets, where unlimited devotees of the Lord reside with unlimited forms of the Lord. So here we can imagine what is the greatness of the Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of all creation. I think the children can be moved out, isn't it? So just imagine how great is the Supreme Lord. And such an infinitely great Supreme Lord descends here just to save one 5-year-old boy. It is a family quarrel between father and son. And what a quarrel it was. The father has tried to kill the son in so many ways. I think they should go out. Yes? So Prahlad Maharaj is such a great devotee that he is considered greater than even the demigods. When Narsingadev had killed Hiranyakashipu, he destroyed Hiranyakashipu's armies also. And both these activities he did very effortlessly. Simply with his nails, he tore open the chest of Hiranyakashipu. And his chest was like stone. Shila Tanka Nakhalaye. Hiranyakashipur Vakshaha. Hiranyakashipu's chest was as hard as stone. His body, by the benediction of Brahma, was like a thunderbolt, Vajra. Brahma had just sprinkled a few drops of water from his Kamandalu onto Hiranyakashipu after Hiranyakashipu had performed many, many penances for a long years. And he had got this body that was stronger than a thunderbolt, as strong as stone. Nobody could break that. But simply by his nails, the Lord tore apart the chest of Hiranyakashipu, just like a small child would easily tear up or split the body of a wasp or a small insect. Tanu Bringa. In front of Narasimhadev, the strong Hiranyakashipu's body was like that of a wasp. And then when all the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu attacked Lord Narasimhadev, Narasimhadev destroyed them simply by his nails, the whole army. He did not have to use any of his weapons, simply the nails. So this is the extraordinary nature of the Supreme Lord. Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakham Adbhuta Shringam. Tavakara Kamala. So Lord's Jayadev Goswami is praying to Lord Narasimhadev, Tavakara Kamala Bare Nakham. Your nails are very adbhuta, very extraordinary. Your lotus, which are on your lotus hands, are very extraordinary. Your hands are soft, like a lotus. But on the other hand, it is so strong that it can also kill powerful demons like Hiranyakashipu and his powerful armies. So the Lord can be like this. Vajradapi kathorani kusumadapi komalam. He can be stronger than the vajra of the lightning, thunderbolt, but he can be softer than a rose. And he was so much in anger that the whole universe was terrified. Lord Narasimhadev's roaring was putting terrible fear in the hearts of the big, big elephants who were wandering in the jungle. And the elephants began to tremble and cry in fear after hearing Narasimhadev's roar. His eyes were red and so fearful that nobody could even look at his face. The hair on his body was also flying, and on his head, on his mane, the hair was flying and scattering all the clouds. And even the airplanes of the demigods as they came were thrown out into space. His breathing was creating tsunamis and typhoons all over the world. And such descriptions of Lord Narasimhadev's anger have been given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was so angry He is the limit of anger. No one can be as angry as Narasimhadev. We also get angry at times. We also feel happy. We also have so many emotions. So these emotions are there in us because they are there in Krishna, in the Supreme Lord. But these emotions exist in their pure form and in unlimited quantity, in perfection in the Supreme Lord. But when they manifest in us, they are very insignificant. Even the most powerful person on the earth can have a lot of anger. But what is his anger compared to the anger of Lord Narasimhadev? Incomparable. Such anger that the whole universe was terrified. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he expands himself into innumerable forms. Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishthanna Navataram Karod Bhuvaneshu Kimtu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parabah Pumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna has many, many expansions like Lord Ram and Lord Narasimha, etc. But the origin of all of them is Lord Krishna. So all these different forms of the Lord, they represent different moods of the Supreme Lord. And he appears in these different forms for the sake of fulfilling certain specific purposes. When he appears as Vamanadev, he had a purpose. When he appeared as Matsya Avatar, he had a purpose. As Kurmadev, he had a purpose. Similarly, when he appeared as Lord Narasimhadev, he also had a specific purpose to fulfill. He had to bypass the benedictions of Brahma, keep the benedictions intact, and yet he had to kill Hiranyakashipu and save Prahlad. Because the Lord is supremely intelligent, all-knowing and supremely powerful, so he could do these things very easily. But this form of the Lord is especially a form that is taken by Lord Krishna for the protection of his devotees. And because the devotees have to be protected, and because there are many envious demoniac entities who want to harm the devotees, so the Lord becomes very angry. So Lord Narasimhadev is the personification of anger. So when Lord Krishna wants to really show what is anger, then he takes the form of Lord Narasimha. The anger of this world is absolutely insignificant. Sometimes even the demigods may get angry. Even that is insignificant. Brahmaji, the foremost living being of the universe, may get angry. But even that anger is insignificant. When the Lord has to get really angry and show what is real anger, then he takes the form of Lord Narasimha. And he takes the form only for the protection of his devotees. So therefore Srila Prabhupada explains that even as devotees we should follow in the Lord's footsteps and get angry only when it is for the protection of the devotees and not for other purposes. We should not get angry because our ego, our false ego is hurt for some reason. For example, if someone doesn't give us the respect we think we deserve, then we become very angry. Or if someone speaks harsh words to us, we become angry. If someone criticizes us to a third person, then we become very angry. Now such anger is material anger. It arises from the modes of passion and ignorance. And from such anger there is forgetfulness. Krodhat bhavati sammohaha. Sammoha smriti vibhramaha. Smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinasha pranashyati. So this eventually leads to fall down. We lose our intelligence, lose our memory of who we are, and we perform some unpleasant activities which are harmful to us. So anger in the material world, used for material purposes, is a gateway to hell, as Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. But when it is used for Lord Krishna's service or for the protection of the devotees, then it is perfect anger. Just like Hanuman had to become angry in the service of Lord Ram when he jumped over the ocean and went to Lanka. And at that time, when he was caught, or he allowed himself to be caught by the armies of Ravana, actually it was his son Indrajit, who let loose the Brahma Pasha, and only to respect Lord Brahma he allowed himself to be caught. He wanted to honor Brahma's word to Indrajit. So then after that, Hanuman showed his anger by burning down the whole of Lanka. Similarly, Arjuna also displayed anger in the service of Lord Krishna when he was ordered by Lord Krishna to fight the battle against the Kaurava army and their supporters. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also got angry with Jagai and Madhai when Madhai actually assaulted Nityananda Prabhu. So anger can be used and should be used, but only in the service of Lord Krishna and specifically for the protection of the devotees, but not for other purposes. So we can see that even Lord Narsingadev, who is a personification of transcendental anger in unlimited quantity, even he became angry, not for nothing. Because his pure devotee was being harassed and tortured in this way, he became angry. Otherwise, Lord Narasimha is in very peaceful posture. Here in Lakshmi Narasimha temple, we see the posture in which Lord Narasimha Dev is sitting. Which is that posture? Shanta. He is peaceful. If you go to Melkote, Yoga Narasimha, he is sitting in yogic posture. So there are many different mudras or positions or asanas in which Lord Narasimha Dev sits. Here he is in peaceful mood. He has now become peaceful after killing Hiranyakashipu. He is not always angry. But he becomes angry when devotees are troubled. And at that time his anger becomes so great that it cannot be described. So Lord Narasimhadev, he became so angry that even after he had killed the armies of Hiranyakashipu and there was nobody to stop him, now no one was there to challenge him. So he walked up to the throne of Hiranyakashipu and he sat down there. Such was the fortune of Hiranyakashipu. One of our great acharyas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, has explained that many times great devotees also make thrones for the Lord to sit on, simhasana, and they decorate it with various mantras and so on, with tantra even. And the Lord declines, he doesn't come and accept their asanas. But he accepted Hiranyakashipu's asana. And he went and sat there, uninvited. Nobody invited him to come and sit. Even the demigods who were there were so terrified and afraid, even they did not think that they should ask the Lord to please sit down at least. When a very respectable person comes to us, after welcoming him with sweet words, the first thing we do is to ask him to sit down. We give him a nice place to sit. The demigods could not even do that because they were too much in fear after just watching the awe-inspiring performance of Lord Narasimhadev. They were just standing there trembling with fear. And Lord Narasimhadev thought, well, Nobody is inviting me to even sit down, so I will invite myself. So he helped himself to the asana and he sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. But even after he sat down, his anger was not calm. He was still roaring and roaring, sometimes lifting his head to the left side and roaring, lifting his head to the right side, roaring. That is how a lion roars. You have seen? If when a lion roars, he will turn his head up to the left, right or straight. And then he will look up like this and roar. And when he roars, it is such a deep, long roar that even the whole universe starts trembling. Please see that Lord Narasimha Dev is not an ordinary lion. He is directly the Supreme Lord who is appearing in the form of a half lion and half man. Even an ordinary lion can be very frightening. One of our sannyasis in our movement, he is from Africa. And he preaches a lot in Eastern Africa, in Kenya. So he was talking about a certain tribe called the Maasai who live in the forests of Kenya. They are a Kshatriya tribe and they give a lot of importance to bravery. So when a young boy is growing up, they don't consider him to be a man till he has killed a lion. So by the time he comes to the age of 17, 16, 17, 18, something like that, then he has to prove his valor. He has to take his spear and go to the forest and kill a lion. And usually they go in a group of 5 or 6, or maybe a few more. And you have to kill a lion, not a lioness. And you have to kill him not when he is sleeping, but he has to be fully alert and fighting with you. So then he was describing how it happens. I am going to narrate this just to give you an idea of what a lion is. So then you can imagine what is Narasimha Dev. So the lion is sitting there peacefully. Now these 4 or 5 or 10 young men, they go and make a circle around the lion, standing at a safe distance. And the lion notices something is happening around me. So he looks up like this, casually looks up. Oh, some people have come. And they are holding spears. And they are standing like this. Now these young men, these boys are trembling with fear. And then very slowly, very leisurely, he turns his head in one way and lets out a slow and long and deep roar. And that roar increases in intensity with time, just like our shankha, when we blow the conch shell. When you start blowing, and then you increase the tempo of the sound. So when that sound comes, of these boys who are standing, who are also very brave, half of them collapse to the ground. They just fall down. It is so frightening, that roar. And around in the trees in the forest, there are many monkeys. They are sitting on the branches, watching what is going to happen. And many monkeys fall down from the branches to the ground. Now, this is the ultimate dishonor or insult for a monkey. In fact, a monkey is removed from the monkey samaj if he falls down from the branch of a tree. He is not considered worthy of being a monkey. He is an insult to the race of monkeys. So any monkey who falls down is rejected by the monkey community. So you will never see a monkey falling down from a tree. In Vrindavan there are hundreds of monkeys. I'm sure those of you who have been to Vrindavan have seen it. Have you ever seen a monkey falling down? They will sit on the edge of a building. They always prefer the edge. But they never feel dizzy. They never get vertigo. They're not afraid. They will perfectly jump long distances. But here the sound is so terrifying that even the monkeys fall from the branches to the ground. Such is the sound that comes. And then the lion casually gets up. And then with a lightning movement, he just moves one paw like this. And 6-7 boys are just on the ground, those who are standing. Just with one paw, moving very fast, he gets up and he seems slow because he's heavy. But once he gets up, then he moves with lightning speed and moves his paw. Of course, by the time some of these boys, and they get up and they attack, and eventually many of them, they emerge successful. It happens. They manage to kill the lion. So you can imagine the kind of bravery it requires. But the point is, this is just an ordinary lion who is not even fighting with his full strength. And this is one lion of this material world, of this tiny earth planet. If his roar can create such terror and such fear, can we imagine the terrible roar that Lord Narasimhadev let out and what kind of fear it must have created? Actually, we cannot imagine. We are saying, can we imagine? But actually, we can't imagine. Such fear, such terror, we cannot imagine. We do not really know what is terror. We are thinking of a few terrorists blowing bombs and some things, and we call this terrorism, some big terror. But real terror, what terrorist was Hiranyakashipu. And when Lord Narasimhadev wanted to terrorize Hiranyakashipu and his followers, then he became the supremely transcendental terrorist who was working for the good of the world. What kind of terror he struck in the hearts of the asuras. And because he had that terrible anger, even the demigods did not want to come. This is described also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They all began to offer their prayers. Brahma offered prayers, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Varuna, Chandra, the residents of the different planets in the universe. They all started offering prayers. But still the Lord's anger was not pacified. He was still sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu and roaring with anger. He had garlanded himself with the intestines of Hiranyakashipu. And his anger had not abated, because how can somebody harass his pure devotee? How dare somebody do that? So Hiranyakashipu wanted to send out, I beg your pardon, Lord Narasimhadev wanted to send out a message that this is how angry I will become if my devotee is harassed and tortured. And then the demigods were standing safely behind. They did not dare to go forward to pacify the Lord's anger. They did not have the courage. Then they told Lakshmi Devi, "Oh goddess, you are the consort of the Lord. You please go forward and pacify the Lord." And even she had been astonished to see this display of anger and power of Lord Narasimhadev. She also became fearful. She also said, "No, no, I have not married him. I don't know who he is." Such terror. And then finally, all the demigods, including Lakshmi Devi, were unable to go forward. Then Brahmaji turned to Prahlad. And Prahlad, "My dear boy, please go forward. Please pacify the Lord's anger." Prahradam preshayamasa brahma avasthita mantike tata prasham prashamayopehi svapitre kupitam prabhum. Now our Prabhu, our Lord Narasimha, is extremely angry because of your father. Svapitre kupitam. He is angered because of your father's activities. So you please go. Tata, my dear child, prashamaya upehi, go and pacify him. because only you can do that. And it is interesting to note that Prahlad Maharaj did not feel afraid. He was completely fearless. He walked up to the Lord, and what did he do? Here in this verse, which is up on the board now, from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, verse 5, it is described that when Prahlad Maharaj went in front of Lord Narasimha Dev and offered his prostrated obeisances, Shashtanga Pranam, Dandavat Pranam, at that time, what happened? Shukadev Goswami describes like this. Svapada mule patitam tamardhakam. Please chant. Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutah.
Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutah.
Uttapita shri shadadha karambujam.
Uttapita shri shadadha karambujam.
Kalahi vitrasta dhyam kritabhayam. Svapada mule patitam tamardhakam.
Svapada mule patitam tamardhakam.
Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutah.
Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutah.
Uttapita shrishna adadhat karambujam. Kalahi vitrasta dhyam kritabhayam.
Kalahi vitrasta dhyam kritabhayam.
One Prabhu, one Mataji. Would you like to chant this verse?
Svapada mule patitam tamardhakam. Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutah.
Uttapita shrishna adadhat karambujam.
Uttapita shrishna adadhat karambujam. Itrasta dhyam kritabhayam.
Anyone from Mataji's side wants to chant?
Svapada mule patitam tamardhakam. Vilokya deva kripaya pariplutah.
Prabhupada's translation. When Lord Nrisimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head. Because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all his devotees. What is the mudra in which Lord Narasimha is sitting here for his right hand? Yes. This. It is called the Varada mudra or the Abhaya mudra, which bestows fearlessness. So when the Lord raises his hand like this, it is to bestow fearlessness. He is blessing. I bestow you with fearlessness. So here the Lord placed his hands, lotus hands, on Prahlad's head. But first of all, it is explained that the moment the Lord saw Prahlad prostrated before him, his anger vanished like magic. He raised Prahlad and placed affectionately his hands, his lotus hands, on Prahlad's head. Just imagine the great fortune of Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord personally placed his hands and blessed him with total fearlessness. And Shukadev Goswami says here, Uttapya Tat Shrishni Adadhakaram Bhujam. Uttapya means he raised him. Tat Shrishni, Shrishni means his head. Adadhakaram Bhujam, he placed his lotus hands. Kala hi vitrasta dhyam kritabhayam. So those lotus hands, Karam Bhujam, Krita Abhayam, it creates fearlessness. In whom? Kalahi Vitrasta Dhyam. Kal Ahi. The word Ahi means a snake. Kal means time. Vitrasta means those who are very much afraid of. Dhyam means those whose intelligence. So for those whose intelligence is very much afraid of the serpent of time, the Lord's lotus hands bestow fearlessness. Time has been compared to a serpent in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So time is called Kala Sarpa, the serpent of time, a deadly cobra, who, when he bites us, creates spiritual unconsciousness, spiritual sleep. Just like when a snake bites the body of someone, then that person becomes unconscious. So similarly, when the snake of time in this material world bites us, in other words, when we come under the clutches of the three modes of material nature and the time factor, then we forget Krishna. In fact, the fear of death is actually a fear of time. It is a reminder from the Lord that we should surrender to Him. So everyone in this world is under the influence of the Kala Sarpa. Elsewhere, the Kala Sarpa has also been compared to a ferocious snake that is devouring us at every moment. But when we surrender ourselves to Lord Krishna, then the snake of time cannot harm us anymore. Sakrad eva prapanno yahan tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmi tadam yetat pratam mama. Lord Ramachandra blessed those who surrender to him by saying, Sakrad eva prapanno yahan. If somebody surrenders to me, and even once comes and says, Tava asmi iti yachate, and makes the plea that I am yours, my dear Lord, abhayam sarvada tasmai, I will always bestow this person with fearlessness at all times. Vratam mama, this is my vow. So this is the merciful nature of the Supreme Lord. That for devotees who have taken complete shelter of his lotus feet, he is ever willing to bestow such fearlessness from the Kala Sarpa, of whom everyone is afraid in this material creation. So a pure devotee of the Lord like Prahlad is not at all afraid of anything. And this is a sign of his great devotion. So here we see how Prahlad could conquer the unconquerable Lord. That Lord who was so powerful that he could destroy Hiranyakashipu and all his armies, and he could not be pacified even by demigods and even by Lakshmi Devi, was now pacified by the pure devotion of one small boy of only 5 years of age. Such are the glories of pure devotional service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has explained, following the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, that one of the characteristics, and indeed the topmost characteristics of Krishna Bhakti is Sri Krishna Akarshini. That this bhakti or this love attracts and controls the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj was able to control Lord Narasimha Dev, which the demigods were not able to do. But pure devotee Prahlad, 5 years old, a little helpless boy by material viewpoint, the moment he stepped in front of the Lord, he controlled the Lord by his devotion, he controlled the Lord's anger, and the Lord became completely peaceful and blessed him by placing his lotus hands on his head. Such a great fortune for Bhakta Prahlad. That is the reason we pray to Prahlad. Wherever Prahlad is there, there is pure devotion. There will be fearlessness, all auspiciousness. And the Lord's lotus hands will be there to always bestow protection upon his devotees. So now that Narasimha Chaturdashi is around the corner, we should now start remembering the glories of Lord Narasimha Dev and his great devotee Prahlad Maharaj, and beg to them for their mercy so that we can also become fearless from the Kala Sarpa and become pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. Shri Narasimha Dev Bhagavan ki jai, Bhaktiraj Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So you had mentioned that Lord cannot tolerate the problems of his devotee, and therefore he appears or he comes to rescue the devotee. Now sometimes we also see that devotees are into difficulties. At that time we say it is the Lord's plan. So how do we understand? And means the problem continues for a long time. So how do we understand?
Both things are true. Prahlad's situation or the Pandava situation was also an arrangement of the Lord. And the Lord wants to teach the whole world many wonderful lessons through these pastimes. And some of these lessons are that the devotee should never be afraid. They should never doubt whether the Lord will protect them or not. The Lord will protect. Rakshishyati iti vishvaso. Like he came and protected Prahlad. Second, he wants to show the glory of his pure devotees like Prahlad. That even though he was harassed so unlimitedly, he still did not give up his devotion. He still remained completely peaceful, in absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. And thirdly, also to show that if anyone will harass the devotees, what kind of fate will they meet? So the Lord wants to caution everybody, don't harass my devotees. Otherwise you will also meet the same fate as Hiranyakashipu and his followers met. So these are all the different things that Lord Krishna wants to demonstrate through his pastimes of placing the devotees of the Lord in difficulty. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Last question. Okay.
Krishna Maharaj, it's just what you call a thought. Just because Prahlad hails from a family of demons, is it that the demons are endowed with a special kind of bodies which can take tormenting so easily and take it very easily? kind of bodies which demons actually have. Which for a devotee, for him to tolerate this kind of tormenting is beyond imagination.
Prahlad was able to tolerate it not because he had a demon's body. He was able to tolerate because he was a pure devotee. And because Krishna protected him. Just like Haridas Thakur was assaulted in 21 marketplaces, but Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took the beating on his shoulder. So he protects his devotees in this way. But demons, yes, they have very powerful bodies, no doubt. But that was not the reason for Prahlad's becoming unaffected by the torture and the killing. Hiranyakashipu would have killed any other demon ordinarily, quite easily, with this kind of torture. Okay?
No, one more aspect. Is it that Prahlad was getting all this tormentation as a reaction, supports a material nature, or any other?
No, definitely not. Prahlad is not an ordinary conditioned soul of this world who has performed sinful activities and therefore gets the karmic reaction. These pastimes between the Lord and his pure devotees are transcendental affairs, and they are all by the Lord's arrangement, because the Lord wants to perform some pastimes and teach the world many, many wonderful lessons. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.